know the case of the young man who was beaten senseless, required surgery, and trying to get his life back to some sort of normalcy. That's ongoing. The individual representing him is a fine attorney by the name of Edmund Chekmakian. There's been a lot of back and forth here regarding what I have called a, without a doubt, a road rage incident, and certainly the inference of hatred, of a hate crime coming into play. That is of opinion, and whether it becomes solidified is a whole other story. But joining us right now on the LINAM program is attorney Edmund Chekmakian. Edmund, always great to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Did I kind of phrase that right as far as what is happening in and around? We'll get into the trial and court charges and whatnot. It's just, you know, the effort of trying to get an individual to show up to court these days is a task in itself, if you know what I mean, sir. And would you mind elaborating on that, if you don't mind?
Yeah, obviously COVID has presented a challenge to every industry, every profession, and the law is no different. It is difficult for people to show up in court. But I can tell you this, that 30 or 40 of David's supporters show up to the courthouse every time there's a criminal appearance, including this morning. And Mr. Streep has chosen not to. He could show up if he wanted to. He could wear a mask and show up and present himself in person, but he has not. So today, rather than go to the courthouse, the supporters, I'm told, are going to be congregating in front of the mansion that he fled to after he beat Mr. Peralta. The house that the Streep family owns is about 3 miles from the courthouse, and the Audi, the convertible Audi that he was driving that day, is always parked there. And this time, they're going to congregate peacefully outside of his house and let him know that his presence in court would be appreciated, to be put to
now,
lightly.
Let's recap for the audience. Way back in time, where prosecutors in this county reduced the felony charges to misdemeanors, and it just outraged me to the point where we're really kind of getting into this case, to misdemeanors against the nephew of actress Meryl Streep. It is an alleged road rage attack, and I always have to preface stuff with that word, which I'm not crazy about, but we have to do it in order to be fair here, which we are. It's an alleged road rage attack. It left an individual with a serious, and I mean serious, head trauma, folks, in East Hampton this past summer. So the guy's name, obviously, is Streep, Charles Harrison Streep, and faces a misdemeanor assault and I believe strangulation charge, if I'm not mistaken. In this attack, it happened in August on the young man, then 18-year-old, by Edmund, who's representing him, David Sebastian Peralta Mera. So, you know, it was in a situation where, as the case goes, David, when he was 18 at the time, by the way, and in a new Mustang, Streep apparently blew past a stop sign, right, Edmund? And almost struck David, who's in this Mustang. There was an exchange of words. Streep physically confronted this kid. Rather diminutive in appearance when you compare him to Streep, attacked him relentlessly, required David to undergo surgery, emergency surgery. And by the way, surgery, if I remember, included the removal of a skull cap. Okay, let's point that out. And thus, the ongoing back and forth. First, Edmund, let's get into the condition right now. How is young David doing here?
Well, I hate to use a cliche, but I would say as well as could be expected. I called him yesterday. He said, he texted me back, I can't talk right now. I'm in cognitive therapy in Stony Brook. His family drives him from East Hampton several times a week into Stony Brook, where they have a trauma center. And he's undergoing cognitive therapy. His life is full of CAT scans and MRIs and testing and therapy. You know, you never fully recover from a brain injury. You know, it's funny because, well, not funny, but it's ironic. In most cases, a younger person is more resilient, like as they say in COVID or even a broken bone. You know, you're 18 and you're going to heal better than a 45-year-old or a 65-year-old. your brain is actually not fully formed until you're 25 years old. So at 18, for him to sustain a brain injury is even more difficult than it would be on someone who's got a fully formed brain. So he's not doing great. A year ago this time, he was excited about his first year of college at John Jay, where ironically he's studying criminal justice. He worked all year to prepare for his sophomore year. He's very excited about starting there. And instead of attending college and working two jobs over the summer, now his life is relegated to treatment for the most part. And the jury's out, no pun intended, about how well he's going to return to normal functioning. It's a difficult road ahead, and he's not doing great. I'm disappointed to have to report that, but he's not doing well at all.
What about the aspect here of a hate crime coming into play here? I know attorneys for Street were grateful. The DA's office rejected the efforts of putting this into play as a hate crime. Is that officially out, or could that come to fruition at some point down the line here?
Well, if the facts developed as such that a hate crime was warranted, I trust that the DA would certainly could, and I think they would elevate it to a hate crime. But the statute, you know, hate crime legislation is relatively new, and the statute is very specific. The individual has to have been targeted specifically for his ethnicity. In this case, I think it was, as you described, it was a road rage incident by Streep. Did he spew epithets while he was beating this kid? Yes. Did he make the references to his ethnicity? Yes. I don't think he was going out looking for Hispanic people to pick on, to be honest with you, or to attack. I think this was born of anger and privilege, and the hate is certainly an element of it, but it wasn't the prime motivation, which is what the statute requires. So we're not second guessing the district attorney's office on that. If it turns out, and we have witnesses, I have three witnesses who are leaving the retail store that saw it happen. They screamed, "Leave it alone! Stop! What are you doing?" They heard him shout racial epithets as well, but he was not specifically targeted for his ethnicity. I think that's why the DA has not pulled the trigger on that aspect of it at this point. And we don't necessarily disagree. It's anger. It's anger and it's rage. And he's not the first person to be attacked by Streep. That's going to be coming out soon. I was contacted by somebody right after this case first got pressed who said I was in prep school with him. He attacked me. He choked me unconscious. This individual was of Persian descent, and Streep choked him unconscious, told him to go back to Afghanistan. He's going to be coming forward. You know, this is a bad guy. This is a privileged guy. He introduces himself. Hi, I'm Charlie Streep, Merrill's niece, Merrill's nephew, I'm sorry. So I think that he believes that because of who he knows and his bloodline and his money, that he can do whatever he wants. He can act with impunity. And he's wrong in this case, I'll tell you that.
And the prosecutors are wrong as well, in my opinion, of reducing these charges. You know, and let's be honest here. You know, and there is money involved as far as wealth of an individual. They can potentially get away from a tougher charge. And in this particular case, you can't help but think, Edmund Shukbakian, that Charles Harrison Streep faces misdemeanor assault and strangulation charges when they could have been a lot tougher. You know, it could have been a lot tougher because, you know, you look at the reduction of charges here, decreases this bully's potential prison sentence from between, 3 to 6 years to a max of 1 year when you think about it. So, you know, you can't help here when there is wealth involved. I'm sorry, the attachment, the bloodline, whatever you want to call it, you can't help but think of those situations becoming involved, especially when it comes to any type of judicial matter here. It's just as a matter of fact, you know.
We were obviously very disappointed when we heard that the district attorney actually had David come in, his mother, and he went to the office and they sat down and explained to him why or that they were doing it. Were we very disappointed? Absolutely. But I'm at a bit of a disadvantage here. The district attorney's got much more evidence than I do. As a matter of fact, ironically, Streep has got much more evidence than I do because along with the bail reform laws, I got a lot of attention kicked in November of last year. There's a new law that says a criminal defendant, almost as soon as he's arrested, gets all the evidence against him dumped in his lap. I'm not privy to that in the civil case. As a matter of fact, the civil attorney has asked the judge to stop or stay the whole case pending the resolution of the criminal matter. But Streep had all this dumped in his lap, videos, witnesses, and the argument against that is that he could intimidate witnesses. And the witnesses might be afraid to come forward if they know that the defendants are going to have all their information right off the bat. But the DA has viewed everything, and they made that call. Well, are we disappointed with it? Yes. Do we agree with it? Absolutely not, especially based on the injuries and the outrageous display of violence. In my view, it was just beyond the pale.
The display of some situations today, heading to the estate, whatever you want to call it out there, of Charles Harrison Street, with a bit of a rally, discourse as far as how this thing is being handled. So I guess with everything backlog, case-wise and whatnot, we've had plenty of attorneys talking about the ins and outs of what's happening to our legal system these days. What is the next step here? If this guy has not answered the call of answering any type of charge, what's the recourse here? I mean, and I understand we're in the midst of COVID and everything else, and God knows when we're going to be fully out of it. Who knows as far as the scheduling situation is concerned. But what is the next step? What has to happen here regarding at least this bully of answering charges?
Well, he's been arraigned. The next step today would just be a status conference. The judge is going to ask each side, the district attorney and the defense attorney, where they stand. I don't think there's been any headway or in terms of making a deal or any kind of plea bargain. I know there hasn't been because the district attorney would clear that with the family first. They don't have the say in the matter, the final say, but they are consulted. The district attorney's office is in the business of making the victims whole as well. So we would know if there was any kind of plea bargain in the work. We don't expect one. We wouldn't condone one. We wouldn't sign off on one, if you will. So right now, I think the district attorney's office and the defense are staring at each other. There's been no pretrial hearings. He may be entitled to hearings. I don't know if he's demanded any. Like I said, all that evidence is dumped in his lap. Before this new law, he'd have to ask for that. It'd have to be motions made to have the district attorney turn it over. He's got all that. The next step is either, like any other case, civil or criminal, you make a deal or you go to trial. I don't think there's going to be any deals here. And the next step will be trial. When trials will open up is anybody's guess. Civil trials are open for a while when COVID fizzled to some extent. And now with the surge, if you will, civil courthouse is closed too. I'm having virtual conferences with judges, depositions, but as far as trials, it's just not happening. So the next step will likely be a trial, and my client will testify, his girlfriend will testify, these three lovely young ladies who saw this whole disaster. Two of them are eyewitnesses. One of them was just an eyewitness to the aftermath. I have sworn affidavits from each of them. I reached out to each of them, and then they all said that the street was screaming, yelling. They were pleading with him to stop. They were pleading with another individual to do something, a passerby to do something, and that individual did nothing, which is disappointing to me as well. But we're going to obviously cooperate with the district attorney's office in every way. They've asked me for some medical records. I've gotten them those. We have a good working relationship with the prosecutor, I have to think that justice will prevail. I'm, again, not thrilled about the reduction, but at the end of the day, we want to see him do some jail time. We don't want to see a slap on the wrist here, an ACOD or anger management alone. We want to see him think about what he did, spend some time in Yaphank and think about what he did. We'd be better. We'd rather see him upstate with more than a year in prison, not county jail. But we'd like to see him behind bars with a nice long time to think about what he did to this young man.
And let's be fair here, folks, this is a trend. It seemed to be a trend, because if there's a past incident, that's got to come out. One, two, to me, on a final thought here, Edmund, it just sends a terrible message, regarding that an individual can, because of some sort of a beef he had as far as an inner quality is concerned, and whether there was a hate type deal involved here with David is a whole nother story. But what gives the right of one person to get out of his car and beat another individual to a pulp because of an exchange of words and whatnot. There's no defense mechanism in place of one's livelihood being threatened here. You know, it's a situation from all I've read regarding facts of a guy who just went off because maybe he has an inner problem in that regard. And it just sends an awful message to the public and to the system regarding the justice of it all that you can get away with this if you have a couple of shekels in the bank or if you happen to know some big people. Especially an individual who might be nominated for an Academy Award 19 times in a life. You know what I'm saying? It just sends an awful message to the public as far as what one can get away with and what one can't get away with. And I understand we're in tough times right now with COVID and bail reform and the flimsy laws and everything else. That does not help the deal. But one thing I think we have to keep our eye on is real time. Does it give somebody the right to do what he did as Charles Harrison Sweep? Now, listen, I sound like I'm a lawyer, nor do I play one here on radio. But I just go over facts and optics and everything else. I mean, have we lost our minds here as far as letting people get this kid's life is ruined. Ruined. God, I hope I'm wrong in that regard. I hope he makes a full recovery. Right now, he's having a tough time, folks. And he's not even 20 years old. Okay? And I feel for this kid. And I've dealt with bullies before, okay? I've dealt with bullies. And they all have the same pattern as what this knucklehead did, to put it bluntly. And that's kind of a final thought of how I feel there, Evan. I'll give you the final word.
Agree. And David is, the juxtaposition is stark. David is a gentle soul. Kind-hearted, I've said this before in the press, I've been asked, and the whole Hispanic sub-community out here is very, very hard-working. They're very very family-oriented, deep religious roots, and he comes from that ilk. He's a really, really nice young man. I didn't know him before, obviously, but his affect is very slow now, and he doesn't seem to have any spark. And before this, he was, avid soccer player. Like I said, he was excelling in school. It's just a shame. I'm hoping that he does bounce back. It's a very slow recovery for anybody, whether you're an adult, whether you're a child. A brain injury such as his, if he was 15 minutes later, we would be a different story. He would be either a vegetable or he would have died. He had a very bad bleed. But I'm hoping he makes a full recovery. He's got the support of his family, the community, and the legal system won't let him down. We're not thrilled about the reduction of the charges, but he's got me on his side in terms of the civil case, and I will follow Streep into the gates of hell if I have to get this kid compensated. Streep will never forget the name of David Peralta or what he did on that August afternoon.
Listen, you will keep us, I'm sure, in the loop as you did with me yesterday. We appreciate that very much. And please send our best to the Peralta family and David, and tell him that we are following this case as no other, and we will keep on top of it and know that you have a platform here anytime we can get any breaking stuff and go over this case once again. I thank you for a couple of minutes, though.
My pleasure. Very well. Have a great day.
All right, Edmund Chakmakian representing David President. Folks, it's a tough case. It's a tough case. And, you can't let a guy like this off the hook from everything you read. I'm sorry. And if he has a history, which was just brought to my attention today, you heard the attorney. If he has a history of doing this, it has to be looked at. But you go through a stop sign, as anybody would who have encountered any of that, you might say a word or two, but you don't expect a confrontation as to what ensued out there, okay? Where, the guy gets out of his car and all of a sudden, he probably outweighs David by 80, 90. I mean, I've seen pictures of this guy. He's kind of a stocky, type dude and probably outweighs him 80, 90 pounds. But you don't expect somebody to come out and be as confrontational. Now, it happens, and I warn people all the time regarding road rage and be careful of your surroundings and honking of the horns and everything else. You got to be careful of that stuff. But in the case here, with everything going on, the guy ran a stop sign, and David said a couple of words, which is kind of a normal reaction. Okay, you, if a guy runs a stop sign, you're driving a new car. Hey, be careful, okay? I mean, you know, who knows what was said? I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, the guy took it upon himself to get out of his car and beat the living, you know what, out of this kid. And to the kid had surgery. Skull cap removed, the bleed and everything else. Come on, who does that? And to have less charges thrown and to have witnesses say regarding some of the racial epithets that were thrown at this kid? It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. And because possibly you can read into it, last name is Streep, not only Merrill, the brother has money. This guy's the son of the brother, obviously. And there is money involved here. There's a lot of money involved here. And it stinks, I gotta tell you. There's a stench of this case. Stench. You'd love to trust the system, the greatest system on the planet from a legal sense. But man, I tell you, this one ruffles me feathers in a big way.